The current fighting in the Middle East and the insurgency in Iraq have given John Arquilla a lot to think about. He's a professor of defense analysis at the Naval Postgraduate School in California, and he's the man who coined the term net warfare. Those words have been used quite a bit recently to describe the fighting in a number of conflicts.
A network doesn't have a command structure like a regular army where orders issue from the general on high down to the private soldier. Networks are made up of tiny distributed cells that basically follow a general goal but have a great deal of discretion as to what they're going to do, when they're going to attack, like Al-Qaeda cells who will attack in Madrid one day, months later in a Bali or a Bombay or a London. And the same is true of Hezbollah in Lebanon. There may be a general command to launch more rockets this day or that, but the choice of which hide site to go to and when specifically to do it is in the hands of the network.
Now, that explains the operational structure. What about their mode of combat?
I think we have a big difference between traditional guerrilla warfare and net war. In guerrilla war, you avoid direct confrontations and strike at remote outposts briefly and then go back into hiding. What you'll notice in the case of Hezbollah is that when the Israelis do mount ground operations into southern Lebanon, swarms of small Hezbollah cells are attacking them from every direction. That's very much unlike guerrilla warfare as we've known it. So a network can attack a larger force in strength and by coordinating the assault of their distributed units.
Well, we're certainly seeing that in southern Lebanon and northern Israel this week, where despite intense Israeli attacks against Hezbollah, Hezbollah militants are still able to synchronize their operations, firing hundreds of rockets in these coordinated attacks. How are they able to do that if the Israeli army has been attacking the communication structure, taking out cell towers and the like?
Well, you see, taking out a cell tower is fighting against a hierarchy. That's assuming your opponent has a similar command and control structure. A network doesn't need those cell towers or really much else. And I think a big lesson for the U.S. military here is yet another big question mark is being put in place about strategic bombing. That is the use of air power alone to try to cripple an opponent. And as we think about our crises with North Korea or with Iran in the future, I think we have to develop a great deal of humility about the potential of strategic air power to deal with our adversaries, even the most hierarchical ones. They know that we have this bombardment capability, and they plan around it. What the Israelis have done a little bit better is coordinate their close air support of small units of spotters operating in southern Lebanon. In effect, the Israelis are trying to some extent to build an attack network or a hunter network of their own, as we call it, and they're doing a little bit better.
How concerned are they at the Pentagon by what they're seeing in southern Lebanon?
Oh, I don't think the Pentagon is nearly concerned enough. They see the Israelis able to hit the targets that they're aiming at. They see their ability to march into Lebanon. And I think in many respects, a traditional analysis would say things are going just fine. What they are discounting, I think, a little too much is the fact that Hezbollah has great staying power. The small distributed units are engaging the Israeli Defense Forces with some success. And I think overall, the larger point is that the image of Israel in the world is suffering greatly from what's seen as a disproportionate use of force. And this is perhaps the keenest lesson of the whole business for ourselves. The manner in which we use our great force is going to be viewed very, very closely around the world. And frankly, how we fight is more important than the actual outcomes on the ground. If we suffered far greater casualties to our own troops, but were killing less non-combatants, world opinion, especially in the Muslim world, wouldn't be so highly negative against us. And we can't be afraid to engage on the ground in order to defeat these networks. And this is the future of conflict.
You talked about world opinion overseas. What about opinion back here in the U.S.? Is America ready to stomach that kind of combat?
Yes. All the public opinion data over the last half century, including in Iraq, show that a substantial slice of the American public will be supportive if they believe in the cause. And I think the big problem in Iraq, of course, is that the cause is one that's questionable in nature. It's been very divisive at home, as it has been around the world. And so the why we fight issue becomes very, very important. And for the Pentagon, I couldn't emphasize more the need to consider the possibility that this informational domain may trump whatever we're doing on the field of battle. And so we have to think about this, and a doctrine such as the Powell Doctrine, which is about the use of overwhelming force, may be very, very useless in an information age where disproportionate force will create huge amounts of opprobrium around the world.
Professor Aquila, thanks so much.
A pleasure to be with you, Michelle.
John Aquila is professor of defense analysis at the Naval Postgraduate School.